Hi, I'm Dan Dunn, the host of What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn, a show that mixes history, culture, politics, famous people, and booze, and strains it through the cognitive mesh of my sozzled gray matter. Join me each week as I take a lighthearted stroll through the consequential role that alcohol has played through the ages, and how it shaped key moments in history, quite literally changing the world. For instance, did you know that Thomas Jefferson started the first U.S. wine company in Virginia with investments from George Washington and Ben Franklin? It's true. And if you're wondering whose winery sits across the street from Jefferson's estate today, here's a hint. What's orange, president, and has a very good brain and the best people. I'll also tell you about new stuff to drink, trends, recipes, and other things that are good to know. And I'll chat up celebrities, along with the movers and shakers of the adult beverage world. And since this is a show about alcohol, I'd like to remind you that drinking can cause memory loss. Or even worse, memory loss. Where was I? Oh, right. Plugging my show. It's called What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn. It's fun, I promise. So come on, pull up a bar stool, and let's kick it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Care Talk. My name is Laura Packard, and we're here to answer your health insurance and healthcare questions. So please text or call in your questions at 202-838-6837, and we'll answer them in further episodes. And be sure to subscribe to my channel or podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And now it's my pleasure to introduce Naveed Shah, the political director of Common Defense. We're going to be talking about veterans' health care on this episode, what has happened and what could happen next year. So welcome, Naveed.
Hey, Laura. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So first, tell us what's happened in the last few years. Catch us up to date on what's happened, good and bad, for veterans in healthcare.
Absolutely. Well, you know, one of the first things that I ever worked on as a young legislative associate here in D.C. was legislation related to helping veterans deal with the after effects of being exposed to toxins like burn pits or other hazards while they were in service. And that was way back, dating myself here in 2012. And now in 2022, we finally passed the PACT Act, which was the largest expansion of veterans' health care in 30 years. And it really addresses all types of issues, whether for veterans who served in Vietnam and were exposed to Agent Orange, or veterans who served in the post-9/11 wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and were exposed to burn pits and other toxins. Now, it opens up all avenues in the Department of Veterans Affairs and VA healthcare system for veterans who served and were exposed to these things to have a presumptive benefit so that they're able to get the services they need and be able to, you know, take care of themselves and be there for their families long into the future after their service. It was a really much very necessary piece of legislation. There was a lot of advocates who fought for it. You know, John Stewart came down and helped advocate for it. Some folks might have seen him marching outside Capitol Hill and speaking at events there. And then there were also veteran advocates who spoke out. And for many of us, it was a huge accomplishment to finally see that bill across the finish line.
Thanks. And so tell us more about what exactly does the PACT Act do and how can veterans benefit from it? My uncle served in Vietnam. So what does this do for people like my uncle?
So for veterans who served in these places, what they should do is go to the VA website. And I don't have it in front of me, but they should go to the VA website. And if you search for Veterans Affairs, PACT Act, P-A-C-T, P-A-C-T, yes, PACT Act. They should be able to find it and go to the website and it'll tell them if they're eligible. Once they can determine if they're eligible, they submit their info to the VA and they can start going to the VA for healthcare, for evaluation. And if they have issues that are related to it, you know, whether it's, you know, asthma or cancer or anything in between, the VA will start treating them for it before, you know, and they don't have to go through the whole process of filing a, you know, a disability claim. That will happen also, but there will be a presumption that you will get this care that you need right now, rather than having to wait for it, which is a huge step in the right direction.
Great. And so can you tell us a little bit, the PACT Act was passed a couple years ago and it's in force now. And so people can take advantage now. But can you talk a little bit about what healthcare for veterans might be looking like next year with the change in administration?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the change in administration and Trump 2.0, that's what I guess we're calling it. You know, during Trump's first term, there was a big push to continue to privatize the VA. And by privatizing, what we mean is that they passed a legislation called the VA Mission Act, which essentially, you know, on the surface sounds like a good thing, where it expands the opportunities for veterans to go out in the community to get their healthcare. So they can go to local private doctors. They don't have to go all the way to a VA facility. For some veterans who are rural and unable to travel all the way to a city that has a VA medical center, this might be good. And we want veterans who, you know, to have access to care. But unfortunately, what this legislation does, and what the pattern and practice of the, you know, Trump administration the first time, and what we're expecting them to do the second time, is to continue to try to privatize the VA by taking money away from the VA, taking resources away from the VA, and pushing more veterans out to go to the private sector. And this is a huge issue because the VA, for veterans who go there, they love it. They always rate it very highly. They say that they would love to continue going there. They want it to stay as it is or get better. You know, there are lots of good things that veterans have to say about the VA. Most importantly, we're able to track veterans' healthcare outcomes. We're able to track their progress. We're able to keep up and ensure that they are getting the care, the medication, the services that they need. And because it's all streamlined, because it's all in one place, it makes it a lot easier. Like, so for example, many of the diseases that were outlined in the PACT Act that will give veterans a presumption of benefits happened because many veterans went to the VA and they said, I served in Vietnam and I was exposed to Agent Orange, and now I have this very specific type of cancer that most 30-year-olds don't get. And all of a sudden they're able to add up, well, if this is happening repeatedly, there might be a pattern here, right? So if we're sending veterans out to the community, we're sending them out to private healthcare, it'll be much, much harder to get that kind of data and be able to put it together. And more importantly, you know, there are proponents of privatization who see it as a way to, for private industry, honestly, to make money. There are many, many different aspects of healthcare, I'm sure we've talked about in the past, that allow for private industry to make money. And because of the VA healthcare system, the industry is missing out on a lot of money. So pushing folks out to the community is another way for companies to line their pockets with profits from veterans.
And can you talk some more about the DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency Plan, that may be looking at veterans' health care as a line item to cut?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that Elon and Vivek have talked about is making huge broad cuts to the federal budget, you know, and they're coming from a place like they don't know the details. They don't know how things work. They're completely disconnected not only from the bureaucracy, but from everyday people, right? You're talking about a couple of billionaires. Like, we can't trust them to know what the average person needs, number one. Number two, they're talking about making broad cuts without having any clear understanding of what they're cutting. One of the things that they are talking about cutting is the VA healthcare budget by something like, it was definitely a few billion dollars at least. I'm sure it's a lot more. I don't have the details in front of me right now, but you know, it was a huge cut to VA healthcare because they view it as discretionary because of the way it's categorized in the federal budget. It's not discretionary, in my opinion. Like when you know, myself, who served in the Army, served in Iraq, and my brothers and sisters, we signed on the dotted line to join the military. And when we did that, we signed a blank check to the United States for any amount up to and including our life. The least we can do as a country is ensure that our veterans are taken care of when they come home, especially at a time when the military is having a tough time recruiting. You're not going to get, it's not going to get better if you're showing, you know, young people that we're not going to take care of you after you come back. Then why would they sign up in the first place?
Mm-hmm. And so one of the issues is that neither Elon nor Vivek have served in the U.S. military, and they see this big pot of money, this so-called discretionary funds. And so they're looking at the VA healthcare as yet another line item to cut. What would the repercussions be if they succeed in slicing off millions or billions from veterans' healthcare?
The repercussions would be enormous. You know, we're already talking about how challenging it is for the average veteran to get VA healthcare. Actually, people don't realize that the vast majority of veterans do not get VA healthcare right now, right? Only because of the PACT Act am I even, you know, eligible to get it now because I served in Iraq. For most veterans, if you don't have a direct service-connected disability or something like that, you don't necessarily have access to the VA. So it's already pretty difficult for the about 5 million or so veterans who have some sort of service connected disability and use the VA. What they're essentially trying to do is, you know, there was an article in The Economist a few weeks ago that talked about how veterans benefits are bloated and that veterans are getting too many benefits. And there was some insinuation that the veterans are getting, you know, more benefits than they should, right? Essentially accusing veterans of fraud, saying that, and they're trying to potentially justify cuts. What they're essentially going to do is make it harder for veterans who need and deserve healthcare, the ability to access it, and not just healthcare, but many other things as well. And at a time when we're constantly talking about the number of veterans who are homeless in this country on any given night is, I think, around 50,000 or something like that, you know, that's not going to get better if we cut folks off from the benefits and services that they've earned.
And can you tell us, for people that are listening, that are veterans or who care about veterans, what can or should people be doing right now to make sure that veterans' benefits are not cut next year?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really important for folks at home watching right now to ensure that you are in constant communication with your congressman, with your local district office, and make sure that they know that you care about this issue. It's really surprising to me. I think I was looking at some of the stats, and so one member of Congress posted that they got something like 10,000 emails from constituents, but only about 3,000 calls in the last year, which is not a lot if you really think about it. And if all of our listeners at home are, you know, start calling their congressman and start bumping those numbers up, those calls really count, especially if you're a constituent. So don't call, you know, the Speaker of the House. Don't call the majority leader of the Senate. Call your local congressperson's district office and let them know that, hey, my name is so-and-so. I live at this address. I'm a constituent. And I want you to make sure that we do not cut veterans' health care because it's too important for us to put on the chopping block.
Are there specific nominees for federal offices and departments that you have concerns about that could affect our healthcare?
Yeah, absolutely. There are quite a few, actually, nominees that to be concerned about. I mean, the one that comes top of mind for me right now is not directly with the VA, but with the Department of Defense. Pete Hegseth is still the nominee to be our Secretary of Defense. And that's really concerning because one of the things that he talks about a lot is wanting to cut DEI and cut, you know, access for women to serve in certain roles in the military. The fastest growing segment of the military, of veterans, are women and minorities. So he's looking to harm the men and women who serve our country right now at a time, again, when the military is facing really tough recruiting challenges. And that has downstream effects for the veteran community. It's going to have downstream effects for, you know, many other facets of our society. So I think it's really concerning to have someone like that be nominated to serve.
Thanks. And how can people follow what you and Common Defense are doing to protect veterans' health care?
Absolutely. You can follow Common Defense on Twitter as Common Defense. I think it's just at Common Defense. And you can follow me on Twitter as well at Army of David. I haven't joined Blue Sky yet, but I need to make an account.
Thank you, Naveed. Thanks for all you do to protect veterans' health care. And now it's my pleasure to introduce our guest, Brandi Shantz, the veteran and podcast host of Living Chronic. Brandi and I are going to talk some more about how healthcare works for veterans. And as Naveed mentioned, not everybody even has access to the VA. So Brandi, tell us more about you and healthcare.
So I'm a disabled veteran myself. I served in the Army. I was an intelligence officer where I also served in Afghanistan. And I actually didn't know much about our own healthcare myself. So I have TRICARE for retirees. And during the pandemic, I had a very, very horrific reaction to a medication I was taking for my Crohn's disease. And it caused a number of issues. And on top of those, I, for obvious reasons, was dealing with some severe depression, and I could not get off of a wait list to save my life. I was waking up every morning, getting on the phone, calling any and every mental health professional within a 40-mile radius, trying to get some help. And that's when I got probably, who knows, the 5,000th email from the Veterans Affairs office that I always just don't pay attention to. And I opened it, and it said, you know, you can click here and make an appointment if you need a mental health professional. And I thought, well, sure I can, whatever. But I clicked it and put down my name and requested an appointment. And sure enough, I had an appointment within a couple of weeks. So, you know, I found out, you know, just by virtue of being desperate, but of course it's been a great help for me. And I think there's just veterans out there that have no idea that we have access to that care. I am a disabled veteran. I'm a 100% disabled veteran, but you qualify for healthcare if you're at least 50%, you qualify for full healthcare through the VA. If you have served in an area with burn pits, so if you served in Iraq or Afghanistan, there's quite a list. You can go to va.gov to find that list. You also qualify for healthcare. That was recently expanded under the PACT Act recently so that everybody exposed to anything can get full health care. You also qualify if you are experiencing financial issues. So there's quite a number of ways you can qualify for Veterans Affairs health care. You could just go to va.gov. There's a little button, do I qualify? Hit that and you can find out if you qualify for the health care. It's really great health care. And that's coming from a person who's living chronic and dealing with quite a lot.
And can you tell us, so the VA is the provider and TRICARE is the insurance, but can you use TRICARE somewhere else? Can you use the VA with a different type of insurance? How does all that work?
So the TRICARE and Veterans Affairs are two separate things. So if you have, you qualify for TRICARE if you are an active duty military person. There are ways you can qualify for TRICARE insurance as a reservist. And if you have retired from the military, you also qualify for TRICARE for retirees. That is an insurance. You can use it at a military treatment facility. You can also use it outside of a military treatment facility. I also have TRICARE for retirees. I use that at various places in the local DC metro area. And that's what I use for some of my doctors that I just prefer to have close to home, or specialty doctors that, you know, do something very specific that I need. And I use my Veterans Affairs healthcare, which is a VA specific healthcare that you can qualify for again through numerous ways, but it's very separate from TRICARE. So if you have TRICARE, you can also qualify for VA just like me, but you do not have to have one or the other. Some people may only qualify for Veterans Affairs healthcare. Some people may only qualify for TRICARE, but they are two separate things. With VA, you can see outside doctors. I know that's been a big topic lately. I will say, as somebody, again, has all the illnesses, so I have way too much experience in this, didn't want it, but now I got it, so I have to share. The VA doctors on staff are the best option for many of us because we do have rare conditions. I have a very rare form of Crohn's disease. I could sit here probably for the next 30 minutes going through a list of some of the things that I have. But VA, what the great benefit is there are these doctors work for the hospital, the government, GS employees. There are also doctors there who are coming on rotation from other hospitals. But bottom line, the doctors you're seeing are a staff doctor. So they have time to sit there and talk to you. So I've had many, many occasions where I've been able to sit down and talk to my doctor for 45 minutes or an hour and really try to nug out and figure out what's going on with me. You know, where did I serve? What was exactly was I exposed to? What are some of the research, you know, what's some of that research saying about this kind of symptom or disease? And we can really dig into it, which is something you just don't have time to do outside of the VA. In the private community, you know, these doctors are very busy. They're overworked. They're dealing with, you know, quotas. If they're part of some large chain, they have to see so many patients a day. They have to do so many procedures. So they just don't have time to do that. And I think that's one of the biggest benefits of VA healthcare, especially for those of us with severe illnesses, rare illnesses, you know, all these different things. You can get in there and really get a good research team looking into what you're dealing with. We also have a lot of access to medications you might not necessarily get on the outside. As a Crohn's patient, my medication is ridiculously expensive, and going through insurance, they're going to, you know, I've been down this road before. They're going to want to try to deny everything they can because it's so pricey, and we just don't have that barrier at the VA. So if you have both like me, use both. It's really great. If you even think you have access to the VA, you know, reach out va.gov. You can find out if you're qualified to get in. It is really great healthcare, especially if you're dealing with some more difficult or rare issues, which many of us are. Many of us are.
So that was actually going to be my next question, is if somebody doesn't know what they're eligible for, maybe they served a while ago, or maybe they're still in service. So is va.gov the best place to start, or is there maybe a phone number that people can call?
va.gov has all the answers you need, but, you know, also, you know, be aware, because sometimes it can be confusing. There's so much information there. You're trying to read through all this and, you know, goodness knows, especially when you're sick and dealing with a lot of illness, you're just fed up with the whole world. You're dealing with so much. It's just overwhelming. So you also have resources you can reach out to. Do you have a local VFW? They always have somebody who can sit down and help you. You know, you can look to a lot of different, you know, resources for veterans, people who can sit you down, help. There's also a phone number. Call them. They're super helpful. You can make an appointment with the VA at your local, you know, everybody has a regional local office, and sit down and talk to them. Most of the people who work there are veterans themselves, and they really know the ins and outs of the system, and they can sit down, look at your case, and really help you to figure out, does this apply to me? And also remember, I know everybody thinks about the PACT Act, and they think about those of us who served in Iraq and Afghanistan, or during, you know, just during the global war on terrorism, but this actually expands to many, many different generations of veterans. So my brother-in-law qualifies after serving in the first Gulf War. He did not serve during GWAT. He served during the first Gulf War, but he was exposed to toxins during that time. And that's, you know, one of the ways he qualifies for Veterans Affairs healthcare. Same can be said if you served in Vietnam. Maybe, you know, you're like my husband and served in, you know, every possible conflict since 86. They all qualified him in addition to being a GWAT veteran and a retired military officer. So there are a lot of ways. Just don't think, well, you know, I didn't serve in GWAT. You know, I retired way back in, you know, 91. You still probably qualify in many different ways, especially if you're currently, you know, having some financial difficulties. Reach out, call that phone number, reach out to your local VFW, Google Veterans Affairs, see if there's a local place, make sure it's a, you know, actual, it's .gov if it's VA, you know, look for that VFW, just make sure that you're not getting caught up in anybody trying to scam veterans, because that does happen. So try to look for that .gov first, and you can call the number on that website and they can help direct you to the right kind of help that you can get, because they have, you know, resources available there where they could say, hey, oh, you're located in a remote area, but we know of this particular organization that's there to help you. So reach out and ask, because there are a lot of ways you can qualify for veterans health care, and most people just don't know all the various ways.
And let's talk about disability. So how does the process work if a veteran has served and they might qualify for a partial or full disability? You have to apply for that?
There is an application process. It is getting easier. There's still, of course, like anything with the bureaucracy, there's a lot of steps. There's still some things that can be difficult, but it is getting much, much better. So again, you can go to va.gov, make sure that you have registered for an account. You can go in. Everything can be done online. If you would like to hire an advocate, you can. You can hire attorneys. They are, you know, capped at what they can charge you. But honestly, you know, you can do this on your own. There's free advocates all over, people out there helping veterans, but you can do it online. Just make sure you have a diagnosis, make sure that you have all your medical records with you, and make sure that you are checking to ensure that you're, you know, applying for the correct disability. As long as you do all of that, then you should be able to get through the system. It is a long wait right now because the PACT Act brought in a lot of new disability veterans, but they're getting on top of that. They're going through it as fast as they can. And again, you can always reach out for help. Just make sure that you're looking for that .gov is what you want to see, .gov. If it's .gov, that's VA government. Just make sure you're looking for it if you're not sure, because if it's a private organization, you know, there's plenty of private organizations out there that are doing great work for veterans, but you do want to make sure that you're getting one of them that is honest, helping you, and not somebody's trying to scam veterans.
That is a very good point, in that people may see or hear things that sound too good to be true, and it turns out to be some kind of a scam. So right. Just to repeat, you said look for the .gov.
.gov.
If you're calling a phone number, you know, look for a phone number on a .gov website. That's right. And it's where to get started.
Yes. And if you're looking for TRICARE, that one is .mil. But again, .mil, .gov. Those are your addresses to look for. Make sure that you're, you know, and sometimes they can be tricky. People like to, you know, it's easy to overlook. They want to make it look like it's official. So just go in there, make sure you're calling that number on that .gov website, and then they can help you. Or .mil if you're looking for TRICARE.
And speaking of TRICARE, we had a question come in from a viewer, Lee, who asked, what are my TRICARE options at age 60? I'm retired Army Reserve, and what are the costs? So you probably can't give specific costs for any person, but for Lee or for anybody else, age 60, retired Army Reserves, maybe qualify for TRICARE, maybe don't. Where should they get started?
So start with TRICARE.mil. Reserve retired is a little bit different from active duty retired. So, and they have a lot of different options, but TRICARE.mil can help you to figure out where you lie within that. When you're active duty, you're on TRICARE. Once you retire, whether it be active duty or reserves, that's when you go on TRICARE for retirees. And there's a TRICARE for reserve retirees, TRICARE for retirees. And it's very similar to your TRICARE that you've known and loved for many of us our entire lives. I was born into TRICARE and graduated college and just rolled right on through. But it's, you know, very similar. It's a very low cost insurance. You can find the entire cost breakdown on TRICARE.mil. And that's what you're on until age 65. Once you turn 65, then you will register for Medicare Parts A and B. And then your TRICARE, you will automatically be enrolled at age 65 in TRICARE for life. That is a no cost. There's no cost to you for TRICARE for life. You're automatically enrolled. And what that does is it's just a supplemental health care in addition to Medicare Part A and B. It's amazing for us because what it does is it pays for everything that Medicare doesn't cover. So those kinds of costs, premiums, things, this cost associated with Medicare, TRICARE for life can come in and take care of that. Usually you just apply through your Medicare Parts A and B for whatever, you know, put through your care through Medicare first. And then after that, TRICARE for Life will pick up the rest of the cost. But it is a very great benefit after age 65, and you are automatically enrolled when you turn 65. Up until 65, you are on a TRICARE for Retirees plan. And again, if you're, you know, wondering what plan's right for you, what you need to be getting into, go to tricare.mil. There's also a phone number on the website you can call, and they can help you to figure out where you want to be. They're very helpful. I've had nothing but wonderful experiences with the Humana military folks. They have been so helpful. Again, the lady with all the illnesses. So I get to talk to them more often than any of us wants, but they've always been super helpful.
Thank you, Brandy. And how can people follow you and listen to your podcast? And tell us, what's your podcast about?
So my podcast is Living Chronic, and we're talking about just life, living with a chronic illness. I interview a lot of great guests. I have veterans, non-veterans, healthcare providers, you name it. We've got just a little bit of everybody on the podcast, but it's really about learning how to live with your chronic illness, how to advocate for yourself in the healthcare environment, which can be very difficult, and, you know, how to just get through life living with a chronic illness. Sometimes, you know, just waking up in the morning is the most difficult thing you do. So, you know, my goal is to help as many people as possible, help us all get through this life living with a chronic illness. You can follow me on any of your favorite podcast platforms. It's Living Chronic is the name of my podcast. I'm also on Instagram, X, formerly known as Twitter, Blue Sky, Threads, and Instagram. Instagram, I am Chronically Brandy Shantz, and the others, you can find me under Brandy Shantz, the funny looking German last name that I married into. Pretty hard to miss.
Thank you so much for joining us, Brandy. Thanks to everybody for listening. Please text or call in your questions at 202-838-6837, and we'll answer them in future episodes. And join us next week for more. And be sure to subscribe to my channel or podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And this is Care Talk.
Hi, I'm Dan Dunn, the host of What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn, a show that mixes history, culture, politics, famous people, and booze, and strains it through the cognitive mesh of my sozzled gray matter. Join me each week as I take a lighthearted stroll through the consequential role that alcohol has played through the ages, and how it shaped key moments in history, quite literally changing the world. For instance, did you know that Thomas Jefferson started the first U.S. wine company in Virginia with investments from George Washington and Ben Franklin? It's true. And if you're wondering whose winery sits across the street from Jefferson's estate today, here's a hint. What's orange? President. And has a very good brain and the best people. I'll also tell you about new stuff to drink, trends, recipes, and other things that are good to know. And I'll chat up celebrities, along with the movers and shakers of the adult beverage world. And since this is a show about alcohol, I'd like to remind you that drinking can cause memory loss. Or even worse, memory loss. Where was I? Oh, right. Plugging my show. It's called What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn. It's fun, I promise. So come on, pull up a bar stool, and let's kick it.